This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a game day podcast from TalkSport.
Hello and welcome to an FA Cup special game day preview pod with me, Sam Adderface. This week, game day takes us to Griffin Park, probably for the last time, as the FA Cup brings Leicester to town, minus Jamie Vardy, although there will still probably be a goal fest party. West Ham's Premier League safety is under serious threat, so the last thing they'll want to see is Slaven Bilic back with the baggies and ready to rub salt in their considerable wounds. Chelsea are still raw from conceding late against Newcastle and Arsenal, but should Frank keep keeper Kepa, who can keep out Caballero, just not shots? And Manchester United didn't even know where they were going until a few hours ago, but being directionless and lost is nothing new. All that to come on the ultra-positive game day preview from TalkSport.
This is Game Day.
Danny Gabaldon was Hammer of the Year the season that they got to the FA Cup final and still wakes up on FA Cup weekends and slips into his Cup final suit. How are you? All right?
Cup final
I bet you
suit.
Could still get into your Cup final suit, couldn't you?
I'm not so sure. You know, I'm five years it retired, might. Sam, so I'm not
might,
so sure
it might actually
that.
Be a bit too big for you.
You know, I'd be baggy 100%. Everything's gone tight now, hasn't it?
I want to see you in the Liverpool suit from 95. That's what I want to say.
Off.
You could pull that
I
off.
Could definitely
if anyone could,
off.
You could.
Tom Rennie is here, TalkSport International editor. He wakes up on FA Cup weekend and slips into an oversized West Ham onesie.
I do do that. I do that on all weekends. That's how I enjoy myself when I'm not on air with you.
Okay. How are you feeling about West Ham, by the way? I know we're going to get into them a little bit later on, but they were dreadful the other night.
Yeah, I don't think we've got enough time in the show for all my feelings and thoughts on West Ham. I think that was a dreadful performance, but when you go to Leicester and have seven defenders in your team, and in that first 20 minutes they had about 12% possession and then went 1-0 down, I'm not sure what anybody could do. I think they're desperate for players. And the January transfer window rolls on and David Sullivan's on the phone to super agents with no scouting network going, is Dimitri Payet available? It's not great, mate.
Okay, bees versus foxes sounds feisty. Actually, it should be pleasing on the eye.
Mbeumo chasing into the penalty area. Cameron's in trouble! And Mbeumo pokes him in! It's an outstanding finish! And Brentford take firm control of this West London derby.
Here's Maddison, 25 yards from goal. Shooting and scoring! And scoring the winner! Aurier dabs it down. Ali over the top of the goalkeeper on the volley and in. And Tottenham are in front. And Dele Alli is back amongst the goals.
He's in the area. Gets away from Alderweireld. Oh, that's a stunning goal. Danny Ings is at it again for Southampton.
Here's Bowen. He's got other ideas. He bounces off a couple of tackles. Shoots from distance. And what a goal from Jared Bowen.
Pulisic now wants to mount inside the area. He's beaten Hanley and he's shooting towards goal. And that was some finish by Mason Mount. It's Norwich 1, Chelsea 2.
This is why we love the FA Cup.
Two games on Friday night. QPR against Sheffield Wednesday and Northampton against Derby County. That will be new for Wayne Rooney. At 12:45 on Saturday, Brentford face Leicester. And what a great
run of form Brentford are in. I'll be heading to this one with Matt Holland and Martin Allen, and you'll be able to hear us all over the world on Talk Sport. It should be a great game. Brendan Rodgers will rest players. Vardy picked up an injury in that game against West Ham in midweek, but not thought to be too troubling. Look, he's not going to play this weekend, is he? He and Acho is probably going to lead the line. And there will be a bit of a rejig, but will they have the firepower of Brentford's BMW, Benrahma, Mbeumo and Watkins? And they've won 7 games on the spin at home, Brentford. Thomas Frank, who, let's be clear, when he first started as the manager of Brentford, he took over from Dean Smith, didn't do a particularly good job. It was a sticky start for him. But he's got them within striking distance of the top two. They're a good team. I think it's going to be a good game, isn't it? And probably Leicester, when you look at them conceding and scoring in equal measure, this could be a high-scoring one as well, Danny.
I totally agree. I saw Brentford play a few weeks back. I think Cardiff City went there and they played them off the park. They played some fantastic football. You mentioned the front three there, Sam, as good as anything outside of the Premier League. Benrahma, for me, is the next guy, you know, that gets snapped up. He was unplayable at times with his skills and his tricks, and, you know, such a confident player. And Mbeumo on the other side as well has got a lot of goals. And, you know, Thomas Frank has got them playing some really good football. I think the addition of Pontus Janssen coming in at centre-half, that little bit of kind of experience and physicality has helped them this season. And their home form has been very good. So, you know, if Leicester go there, take it lightly. If Brendan makes a lot of changes, which you would expect him probably to do, I think it could have the makings for not just a very good game, but probably an upset.
Ollie Watkins went for a spell earlier in the season where he hardly scored a goal. I think he went at least 2 games without scoring one, and then came back and scored hat-tricks and braces, and then every other game throughout the course of the season. 18 goals in 28 this season. We're not even at the end of January. Mm. That's an impressive return, isn't it? When you bear in mind last year, looking at the numbers of goals that Tammy Abraham scored in the same division, I mean, he is literally on fire.
Not bad for a converted winger. Actually went, I think, as, you know, as a winger, didn't he? And they've converted him into a centre forward, and he's done really well. But as you say, I think the way that kind of front three kind of interact, and the fluidity that they play with, the freedom that they play with, the chances that are kind of created for him. You know, I say Benrahma might be the next one to go. Speaking of that, Ollie Watkins could be
the whole front three.
I mean,
yeah. The great thing about Brentford is that they're 5th in the Championship at the moment, and what they have is a front three built for the Premier League. What's the Premier League all about? It's about pace, it's about power. Add composure to that, which these three do. They've got everything there.
Look at the rise of them. They've been threatening to get into the Premier League for the last sort of 3 or 4 years. They may well do it this season, which will be incredible. And just as they are about to move into that brand new stadium, which looks absolutely sensational, right on the edge of the M4, perfect place on the side of London as well. Good luck to them, because they do play great football. Talk to me about Leicester City. Do they care about the FA Cup this season?
Well, I think they should. I don't see why not. Obviously, the chances of the Premier League are gone. They're obviously looking to finish in the top four. I think they will do that with the teams around them underperforming. They've got the squad. I don't see why they shouldn't think, you know, let's enjoy a good cup run as well. I think the players will be thinking that as well.
No Vardy, though. Like, he picked up the injury against West Ham in midweek. They reckon it'll be a couple of weeks and not a pulled hamstring. But even so, I like Iheanacho. He has played all right when he's had moments this season. You know, he's
scored a lot of goals.
He has. He has scored some pretty important ones as well. But usually it's to supplement what Vardy does. Now they've got to rely on him. And I think that could be an issue moving forward in this competition and the league as well.
They were FA Cup runners-up in 1949, 61, 63, 69, but they have never won this competition, Leicester City. Would you believe it? They take on Brentford live on game day. Right, let's move on to West Ham versus West Brom. Danny Gabaldon's been looking at this one for us. Two of your former clubs.
Certainly is. And this is a difficult one for me, because start of the season, I think West Ham, you know, speaking about Leicester, they're going on, do they fancy a cup run? I thought start of the season, West Ham with the squad they had, good kind of Premier League season, and let's look at the cups as well and say, can we go deep in one of them? The way the season's kind of panned out, where they are in the league, the difficult games that they've got kind of coming up, I think they're probably better off kind of going out of this. I don't see how this is of any benefit to the manager or the players. I think, you know, the players kind of look low on confidence at the minute. David Moyes has come in, just the one win in the 4 kind of Premier League games. Performances haven't been great. Players look low on confidence, and I think the last thing you need is a team from a league below you coming to your ground and kind of turning you over, and another kind of loss, which dents the confidence even more. But
he can't change much, though, can he?
And
because
that's the problem,
the bench in midweek, you know, Ajeti, I don't even know who this guy is. I think he's played cumulative an hour all season long. So Allaire's got to play because there's no one else that can play there. Antonio can't play more than 60 minutes per game coming back from another injury, so he's not going to play. And Noble and Rice, they're playing 90 minutes every game, working so hard, and there's no one to replace them. Carlos Sanchez can't play. Jack Wilshere can't play. Yes, he is still getting 100 grand a week and doing nothing at the club.
Hiding in washing machines. Scary.
Hilarious,
people.
Jack. Thanks for reminding us you were here. I mean, you know, if I were him, I'd keep my head down. You know, and
no wonder Declan Rice was so scared. He hadn't seen him for 6 months.
And that's the biggest issue. And so I think West Ham have got to rest everybody here. Unfortunately, for us wanting to watch the game, Gabs, I think West Brom are going to do probably the same thing.
I'm worried about West Ham United. 17th, 23 points, and their next 8 Premier League games include Liverpool at home, Manchester City away, Liverpool away, Arsenal away, Wolves at home, Spurs away, and Chelsea at home.
Mm.
This is a serious situation for David Moyes, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a serious situation for a long time. I think all of West Ham's problems revolve around the fact David Sullivan runs the club. He won't hire a director of football to actually be director of football. He won't hire a chief executive to actually be chief executive. He's proven himself incompetent of running a club like this several times over. There's no scouting network. There's no long-term strategy, no long-term plan. David Moyes being manager for the second time is indicative of that. And it leaves David Moyes with a squad right now who I think is a good manager, and I'm pleased he got the job, and I can't see how they could have got anyone else to take that job at this time. And the game against Leicester, he has to play 8 defenders out there to try and get something from it. I think that those games are incredibly tough, but look at Burnley turning over Leicester, beating Manchester United. If you're going to stay up in the Premier League this year, you have to beat those sides that are 5th to 14th, that are separated by, what, 6 or 7 points. You have to pick up points in those games. Everybody does. And West Ham don't. I think you're right to be worried. And I don't see West Ham getting more than 35. An absolute push this season.
That might not be enough because of the concertinaed nature of the division this season. FA Cup game day brings you Brentford versus Leicester at 12:45. We follow that up with Southampton against Tottenham and then Hull against Chelsea. That's at 5:30 this Saturday. Now, let's delve into our velvet bag. Okay, so basically, we put the games into a little velvet bag and then we pull them out and you've got 60 seconds to give us a sort of preview off the top of your head about the game that we've pulled out for you. So I'm going to get the velvet bag out now and delve into it and just give the balls a little bit of a swirl around. No hot balls here. All the same temperature. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to preview Reading versus Cardiff.
Okay. Go. Okay. Reading, actually, decent home record in the FA Cup over recent years. 6 wins and a draw in their last 8 in the FA Cup. Going very well in the Championship under Mark Bowen. I think they've only lost one of their last 11 games in all competitions. Bit of a struggle for them in the last round against Blackpool. Had to go away to Blackpool and get the win there in the replay. Sitting 9 points off the playoffs, so still thoughts maybe about pushing into the playoffs come end of the season. They made a lot of changes in the last round, so I'd expect them to do a similar thing. Cardiff City have had their struggles as well in the FA Cup, only reached the 5th round twice in the last 11 seasons. Carlisle was a struggle for them, took a replay for them to beat them, but Neil Harris has good pedigree in the FA Cup, as we know. Had a couple of good FA Cup runs with Millwall, so he'll be looking to go to the Majeski and pick up a win if he can, but they'll have a lot of bad memories about the Majeski earlier in the season where they got absolutely hammered in the Championship. I'm over.
Thank you very much.
I loved it.
I enjoyed it.
Am I supposed to kind of finish that off as in
there was a great flourish to it.
Just who would going. Win?
Or... You can finish any way you like, mate.
Okay.
Hey, what you did was perfect. That'll do. Thank you very much. Right, Tom, let's go through and pick one out for you. Oh, Millwall versus Sheffield United. Your time starts now.
I love watching Millwall this year, and I love the fact they signed Matt Smith up front, the most Millwall signing in the history of Millwall signings, involved in 9 goals in 12 appearances at the Den this season, 3 assists in that time as well, 1 loss in 14, a tremendous time for Millwall Football Club, 8th in the Championship, playing the most Millwall football you can imagine under Gary Rowett, but they have power, they have physicality, they have a will to win. I think they've got a great chance against Sheffield United in this game. With Sheffield United, they can't rotate very much. Chris Wilder doesn't rotate very much, though I do expect to see the likes of Ravel Morrison, maybe Jack Rodwell. Remember him? We might get to see him a little bit in this game, which will be good. I think they do need to rotate as much as they possibly can, though I don't think they will. The big issue for me here in this game is about the crowd. Number one, will they turn up? If you watch the last round, no one turned up at the Den for this one. 2 full stands were empty. And also, the ones that do turn up, what will their behaviour be like? You would have seen the game against Reading last time out when there was those chants that the FA are investigating. So fans, do behave. Your team are pretty good.
Yeah, and I was at the game, I think it must have been last year when they played Everton in the FA Cup, and the behaviour there outside the ground was terrible from both sets of fans, from what I remember. Right, let's. I'll give you my one here. It is... This is a nice one. Portsmouth versus Barnsley.
So you're picking out your own ball. Is that all right? Is it? Are we allowing that? Are we?
Stewards inquiry.
There's only one ball left. If there's only 3 balls in there...
We should have picked the balls out ahead of time, shouldn't we? Surely. Who's verifying these balls? Who's got their hands on Sam's balls to verify this? Production? Sam's looking into this?
Sam's only got one ball, so it's a bad use of the plural there. The time starts now. Portsmouth against Barnsley. Basically, this is a game between the team that should have gone up at the end of last season and the team that did actually go up into the Championship. And Barnsley have made a bad fist of it, haven't they, when you look at their results so far this season. Portsmouth, who started this campaign with a bit of a hangover, they did very well over the sort of autumn period in November when they won 5 or 6 games in a row. They've only lost 2, actually, since the start of October. They've been in terrific form. They've won the last 5 matches in all competitions, including having another tilt at getting to Wembley via the Football League Trophy. They beat Scunthorpe in midweek by 2-1, which is pretty impressive, seeing as actually, does anyone really want to win what is it, the Trucker Trade? No, the Leasing.com Trophy? Whatever it is, the fact is that Portsmouth seem to keep managing to get themselves into the final of that competition. They take on Barnsley with John Marquis actually scoring goals, which is really important for them, and I think they'll go through and knock Barnsley out and get their revenge.
Stewart's inquiry on the time as well, no?
That was a Portsmouth love-a-thon, wasn't it?
Are they playing someone, Portsmouth? There's no way of knowing.
It was a bit.
You so wanted them to come up, didn't you?
They're playing Barnsley. Yeah, Barnsley. But they're playing Barnsley, and Barnsley aren't very good. So focus on the positives. That's always been my kind of approach to things. Talking of which, let's talk about Manchester United.
Is this where Manchester United are? The players just simply not good enough to wear that red shirt, because if they think they've got any opportunity of finishing in those Champions League positions, then they've got to improve at least by 50 or 60%.
We haven't got anyone playing them long balls through. We've got Martial making the runs, James making the runs. They're not getting the ball.
But you're finding new ways to embarrass yourself and stink the place out. I mean, they stunk Old Trafford out tonight. I mean, stunk the place out.
Yep. Yeah, I think in the transfer market, Ole's done fine.
But there is a big problem at Manchester United Football Club. And this performance here, if anybody's watching this, I saw them play against Rochdale early on the season, and I didn't think it would get any worse than that. Well, it certainly has tonight.
Well, Manchester United didn't find out until late on Thursday night who they're going to play in the FA Cup fourth round. But really and truly, that is the least of their problems, isn't it? I went to the game on Wednesday night and they started actually quite well against Burnley. Even Phil Jones started okay. Like, he was winning lots of headers, he was making tackles for about 20 minutes. And then Anthony Martial, who was incredibly poor, missed 2 key chances. Mata missed another. And all of a sudden, the confidence not only drained from the players, but drained from the crowd as well. They let in a sloppy, rudimentary set piece, which actually Phil Jones gave away on the halfway line. Got done by a worldie, yes. But never, ever looked like scoring. Mm. What is the problem at Manchester United?
They don't have the quality. It's as simple as that. They had a goal scorer in Lukaku. let him go for whatever reason, why, I don't know. And when you let someone go guaranteed 20 goals a season, you have to replace him. It's as simple as that. They've been light up front, heavily reliant on Rashford. He's now gone lame. And you know, you've got Mason Greenwood, Martial, who is a myth for me. You know, was one of the most expensive teenagers, and 5 years later...
Well, he's not good enough, is he?
He's not good enough, no. He's not consistent. He doesn't look like he wants to be a footballer. Sometimes you look at his body language and you just wonder if he really wants to be out there. And you'll get the odd good performance from him, which will get him a new contract. And then, you know, he's just not consistent enough. So they're light up front. You know, light in midfield, no creativity. Apparently they're a counter-attacking team, Manchester United. But, you know, Burnley on Wednesday night, they didn't sit off. They actually pressed Manchester United high at times, but they still couldn't break through them and create enough chances. So they're just lacking quality. They've got to get players in.
Worst thing for me, Danny, is that Burnley weren't actually very good. They weren't brilliant. They didn't have a stormer. They didn't have their best game of the season so far.
They never are.
They just were effective enough to beat Manchester United.
There's so many issues at the club from the top down. We spoke about West Ham earlier on, and it's a very similar situation. They've got a man running the club in Ed Woodward who has no defined strategy. He's gone from one different type of manager to another, ultra defensive, a rookie, a veteran. You know, he goes to all these different types of people, doesn't know what he wants. The strategy for transfers makes no sense. The playing staff make no sense. You know, teams are targeting Aaron Wan-Bissaka. They are targeting him because they know he tries recovery tackles. He does it all game long. He'll give a free kick away. He'll give a penalty away. And Burnley did that, I think, in midweek fantastically well. Get down the left-hand side from the attacking perspective at United's right, and there will be joy
will
in it.
Yeah.
There are so many issues there, and there are so many problems, and I find it confusing that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in his post-match interview is still talking about Manchester United being the best and greatest and biggest club in the world. We keep talking about their DNA. That doesn't matter at this point. They need someone in charge above Solskjaer to replace Solskjaer to give them a proper directive. He'll be there for the rest of this season, and we keep thinking there's going to be a long plan. There's going to be an idea come the end of this campaign. There is no idea.
Jude Bellingham's the idea. 16-year-old.
There is a long-term plan. That the long-term plan is to sign younger players and slowly but surely drip-feed them into the squad, isn't it? I mean, you say that the transfer policy isn't working. Well, actually, the one thing that has worked so far this season, the only thing that's worked so far this season, is bringing in those three players. Maguire has done well.
No, I don't agree.
James
I don't agree with that at all.
The season really well.
Maguire has not had a good season. He hasn't led that defence, and they've conceded a lot of really poor goals. Wan-Bissaka is a good defender, but has been found out repeatedly.
Yeah,
and Daniel James has been rubbish
goals,
since Christmas.
But that's because of the other players that are around them.
But not Maguire. You wouldn't blame Maguire, the captain and centre half, for the issues they've had. He's played every week. He's crucial to it.
I'd be more concerned about Lindelof than I am about Maguire. I don't think Maguire's an £80 million player, but ultimately, that's obviously Manchester United having to pay more than everybody else because they're Manchester United. I do think, actually, that James probably needed to be rested. He's still a kid. He's been played every single Premier League game this season. There's no way a kid who's just come in from Swansea should be doing that week in, week out and having that rest on his shoulders. I agree with what Danny said earlier on. There's no way that you can leave Lukaku and allow him to go off to Inter Milan and not replace him with an experienced striker.
The issue is, okay, you know, your plan is to sign young players. If you continue to sign young players, then in 5 years' time, Manchester United will be so far off it, that's the only type of players they'll be able to sign. They won't be able to sign those elite players because they won't be finishing in the Champions League places. They won't be winning leagues. So that will be your model. It will be to sign young players because that's all you'll be able to sign. You won't
but
be able to attract the high-level players.
You can't sign experienced world superstars because you can't. Manchester United probably can't, at the moment, attract the world superstars. You know, the one that they do have in Paul Pogba wants to leave. So trying to get somebody else to come in and do that, it's not going to happen. The other problem you've got is that the inflated transfer fees surrounding these huge superstars are actually putting off even big clubs like Manchester United, because what they need to do is probably spend about £1 billion restructuring the squad. But nobody's got £1 billion to restructure their squad. So ultimately, you've got to think of a different way of doing it, haven't you?
I mean, they have spent not too far off £1 billion over the last 10 years trying to bring players in since Sir Alex Ferguson left. What, the 8 years since he left? They've spent a huge amount of money.
But they need another billion.
They've spent it so badly, and it's the one man who has overseen that entire thing, the appointments of managers, selection of players. You know, you heard the chants about the Glazers and the Woodwards and Woodward himself in the game against Burnley. You've heard them growing and growing and growing. We know what the issues are. At some point, someone who's a chief executive has shown their incompetence so clearly and repeatedly, he needs replacing, but he won't get replaced because he is a friend of the owners and he's fantastic at getting potato chip sponsorship.
Yeah, and that's the issue. The issue is that he's actually very, very good at being a chief executive of a football club. He's not very good at being a sporting director of a football club, and they haven't got one of those, and they probably need one. And until they start appointing sensibly on the football side of the business, as Gary Neville articulated earlier in the week, then nothing is going to improve.
There was a great video yesterday on social media of a fan that had flown from Australia to Old Trafford for the game, and he was like, I can't believe I flew that far for that rubbish. I ain't supporting this team no more. And that was my Australian accent. And that's what's going to happen moving forward. Yeah. And if you want to know what's going to happen with United over the next 20 years, if you just put Omen away, old mate, for God's sake. You'd have more fun. If you want to know what's going to happen, you look at what happened to Liverpool over their 30 years until their title this season. We're in the kind of, what are we in, the Graham Souness bit now, or the Roy Evans bit now? We've got club legend. We've had our Gerard Houllier, haven't we? Because we had Louis van Gaal. So we still need to get a Roy Hodgson in
some
way.
That's still to come.
We're still pre-Julio.
Still to come.
I mean, then we need a Rafa Benitez-type character to restore some respectability. And so we're a good 26 years away, I would say, from having their Jurgen Klopp. So enjoy it and look forward to the Roy Hodgson Florence Cinema Pongol days. You think this is bad, it's going to get worse.
Okay, well, let's move on. Let's get to the Dream Team section.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at Ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
The Dream Team section of the programme, and as always, when we get into this, we bring in Andrew Butler from Dream Team FC. Hello, Andrew, how are you?
Hello, Sam, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Shrewsbury against Liverpool and Bournemouth Arsenal are your two games. Shrewsbury, take on a Liverpool team that, when you look at the lead that Liverpool have got in the Premier League, it's so substantial that you'd think now that they could afford to start thinking about winning a league and cup double. And they might, but maybe the cup that they're looking to win is not this one. Are we expecting a team of kids? And should that pose more of a problem for Dream Team players than it will do actually Liverpool, because their kids are great, but actually, you're not going to take out Salah and put in Curtis Jones, are you?
No, not at all. And as per in the FA Cup, you've got to be really careful about who you want to be bringing in. You want to be bringing in players that might actually play consistently. And really, with FA Cup selections, with a team like Liverpool, it just doesn't look like that will happen. I expect players like Minamino will play. Shaqiri might even get a nod. It feels like a sort of thing that Klopp might do to ward off any clubs that might be wanting
injured.
If he's not injured, of course, he might get a start, because, when clubs come sniffing, Klopp might just go, no, he's still part of the plans, and it keeps him sweet for a couple of months. But really, when it comes to Dream Team, you kind of want to be getting in players that will be starting regularly after this weekend, which I just can't see happening with Liverpool playing the kids.
So do you just sack off this weekend if you're a Dream Team player, or do you have to just be very, very clever?
You have to be clever. And I mean, it's a long game as well, so you want to be picking players that might have even been playing in the week. Liverpool's games are coming thick and fast, obviously playing Thursday night, Sunday again as well. And you know, it's tricky.
I'm not saying you're not trustworthy, right?
But, sounds like but you're about
but
to say something.
Your mouth is saying, no, definitely play the game that pays my mortgage this weekend. Don't not play it. But your eyes say, I'm not playing, you shouldn't play. It's the FA Cup. We can't predict anything that's going to happen. Just take it off, see the wife. That's really what you're saying.
What you've made there is a truly grave error there, Tom, in that you think that I've got a mortgage.
an even graver one in the fact that it's possible that you would just allow it to luck, because it's definitely not about luck, is it, Dream Team FC? It's all about skill. And before Thursday night, Liverpool had racked up 8 Premier League clean sheets in a row, 7 in all competitions. Shrewsbury haven't got a chance, have they, Danny, against them? I mean, they've recently drawn with Bolton and Fleetwood and only scored 24 goals all season. Only Bolton have scored fewer. There's not much chance that they're going to breach this Liverpool defence, is there?
I hope they kind of do well. I know Sam Ricketts fairly well, doing a really good job as a manager. But I kind of hope they don't do well as well, because I've got kind of a bone to pick with Shrewsbury, because as a 15-year-old lad, I actually wrote a letter to them and they actually took me on trial, did really well. And they never kind of rang me back. I ended up signing for West Brom.
That's because you wrote them a letter. So
well,
to write
maybe,
back.
maybe.
Did you put your phone number on the letter?
Or did you write in this letter?
But I got the last laugh, Tom.
Yeah, well, you played for West Ham, so did you?
Well, no, I went to West Brom, actually. Ah. And we played in the same league and we smashed them 4-0 a couple of months after. And the youth team coach came over to my dad and said, why didn't you get back to us? Why didn't you contact us? And my dad was like,
you didn't leave an address.
Sent you a letter for starters with my like dodgy joined up writing and stuff. So I hope Liverpool smash him actually. But probably like Matip might play as well. Mm. Back from injury. Fabinho, I don't know, might come in. So I think they might be a bit more experienced in this round than maybe you'd think.
Yeah, I wanted to mention about Shrewsbury. They've got the very definition of a soft underbelly. Their last 4 league games have been a 2-2 draw with Fleetwood, having been up 2-1 up until the 87th minute, or 1-0 up against Lincoln and drew 1-1, lost against Doncaster, and grabbed a draw against bottom of the table Bolton. And then I just wanted to mention this: they lost in the 97th minute against Rotherham 2-1 on Boxing Day, because I was there, because I know how to enjoy my Christmas.
He's only told us this story 3 times. When you said that they had a soft underbelly, I thought you were going to say that they just had a fat striker. They did get a draw with Wolves last season before losing the replay, so they've got history in this competition. Bournemouth against Arsenal is Monday night's game day encounter. Both Arsenal and Bournemouth will want to carry a little bit of momentum going forward. Callum Wilson will certainly want to do that. But balancing your selections is key here as well, isn't it? I think Arsenal will take this more seriously, mainly because every team that Arsenal put out at the moment looks like a Europa League team anyway.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I expect the likes of someone like Saka will start. He's actually had a pretty decent season in Dream Team, considering his price of 2.3 million, 46 points. He might start. Pepe, I think, actually might start as well. He looks like he's getting a lot of game time.
Possibly actually doing.
We were
anything.
Doing. I mean, this is.
Best
I'm not.
I'm, the championship. Pepe,
I don't want to be
saying.
Doing this again. I shouldn't have said anything.
Why would you say Pepe around me? What are you doing? It's not my fault you haven't got a mortgage. Stop bringing up things that I hate.
But you're right, Sam. The Arsenal team kind of looks like a bit of a mismatch from time to time, and it'll be interesting to see how Arteta approaches the game, because whilst they have been improved under him, they haven't been winning many games. Drawn the last 3, lost the one before that. So this needs to be kind of a statement win for them away at Bournemouth.
I would say if his hair is anything to go by, his tactics are going to be pretty rigid.
It's resilient.
Okay. Unlike Bournemouth, who aren't really trustworthy at all in front of goal. They've scored 1 or less in 16 of their last 18 games. So if they switch out a striker that has only scored one since October the 6th. The chances of them scoring against an Arsenal team that probably have going to put out a stronger team than them are quite low, I would have thought.
Yeah, completely. And on Callum Wilson, I heard him speak after the game against Brighton on Tuesday. He looked and sounded so relieved to have finally got a goal. Not entirely sure we should be tipping him to score in this game or going forward. But
he's not going to play, mate. He ain't going to play.
He might not play. But, I mean, if he can find some form, I don't know about the Euros. But he was talked about at the start of the season, and Southgate likes him. Mm. So it will be an interesting one.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in and contributing. We appreciate that. Andrew Butler from Dream Team FC.
That sounds like an insult, doesn't it?
Does he? I'm not sure.
Thanks for your contributions, Kepa, says Sam Matterface.
Hold on. Hold on. He's basically come in and said, don't pick anybody. Don't play the game. It's all down to luck this weekend because it's the FA Cup and no one knows what the teams are going to be. So in terms of 8 minutes wasted, this was probably about the most.
It should be a winter break, shouldn't it? Dream team for the FA Cup. They should just go on a winter break.
What we're saying is go home, mate.
There's no point. There's no need.
Don't play.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for wasting our 15 minutes. Cheers, Andrew. Whole Chelsea is a 5:30 kickoff. It's live on Talk Sports. Stuart Pearce and Jim Proudfoot will be commentating on that one. Chelsea beat Nottingham Forest 2-0 in the previous round. But Tom Rennie, do you think that they are going to easily step over a team that they've beat on the last seven occasions that they've met?
A lot of variables in this game, because I'm expecting some changes from both sides. We'll get on to Chelsea in a second, because I'm sure you've got a lot to say about Chelsea and I want to hear it, Sam, considering they drew with Arsenal after Arsenal having just two shots in midweek. And again, they just can't finish poor teams off at home, which Arsenal are. I think there's still a parade going on in North London for that point, by the way. But I want to talk a bit about Hull City, because I've watched their last couple of games and they lost them both, because I'd heard how good they'd been under Grant McCann. I thought, oh, watch them, I'll see how they get on. Big games against Derby, lost that by a goal to nil, and Fulham lost that by a goal to nil. But I thought in both games, they looked like a side, you know, we talked about being poor coached when it comes to Manchester United. They look like they're a team that are very well coached, very well organised. And there are players there that I haven't seen for maybe 18 months. And I watched them for the first time since they got relegated and thought, look at the step up these guys have made. And that's people like Kamil Grzycki, who plays on the left-hand side of the three behind the striker. And I thought he was fantastic in both those games. He looks like he has a little bit of magic about him, creativity about him, and can cause damage. He did a little bit in the top level, but I think he looks really good. And also, this is a guy that's been linked with Newcastle in recent days and a few other Premier League teams, Jarrod Bowen. He is a guy that's changed incredibly since the last time I saw him. He plays on the right-hand side of that three behind a striker. Two guys could be playing up front for them, but I think it's probably going to be Tom Eves in this game. He scored a hat-trick in the last round, so he'll probably start. And I think what you've got is a guy who has developed under a manager, and he's an attacking player in almost a Frank Lampard mould, in that he don't create, and he doesn't really get involved in the build-up very much. But he will be there at the crucial moment, the crucial time to finish a move off. So they've got some superb options moving forward, I think, Hull City. And that's where they could cause some damage. The question is whether they actually are going to play their strongest team. And that's the story of the entire FA Cup round weekend. Are we going to see Bowen? Are we going to see Grzycki? Are we going to see Rhys Burke play? Are we going to see Tom Eves start this game? Are we going to see the talents that they have? Or will they be thinking we're 12th in the Championship? There are points that can be made up. Why would we risk it against the Chelsea side, whose second string, who they're going to play, are probably going to beat us anyway?
I think you're right about Jarrod Bowen. I think he's an excellent player, and Steve Bruce definitely concurs. He brought him from non-league football. He takes a lot of credit for doing that, and he's quite happy to shout about it as well, actually, to be honest with you. But he wants to spend 20 million quid on him, and Newcastle at the moment are a little bit reluctant to do that. But I think they're so desperate, Hull City, to sell, that eventually they will come to a deal and he'll end up moving on this January transfer window. So it'll be interesting to see, as you say, whether or not he features in this game. As far as Chelsea are concerned, they've got a real problem. They're a very, very good team, apart from two things. They let in far too many goals because the goalkeeper is not good enough, despite being £72 million worth, world record fees worth of goalkeeper. And they don't convert enough of their chances. And you can have a go at Tammy. Everyone has a go at Tammy Abraham because it's the easy thing to do. Actually, Tammy Abraham's done a very good job this season, because Tammy Abraham is not really or wasn't at the start of the season, a top four striker. He does miss a few chances. He will get better. He is spending a lot of time after training sessions honing those skills to try and get himself into a situation where he can be a better striker. Ultimately, is he Harry Kane? No. But he's the best Chelsea have got at the moment. They've got to use him. Do they need to buy somebody else? Yes. Even if it's loaning Edinson Cavani for £5 million until the end of the season, they have to do something else. The lack of wit and invention on the edge of the penalty area, it's all right getting to the edge of the box and coming up with something, but Chelsea just didn't have enough cut and thrust when it comes to breaking down a low block, where it comes to breaking down a team that put 10 men behind the ball. They cannot get through. Pulisic has been injured. Yes, he wants to get back out there, and that'll be great when he is, because he's a talented player. Callum Hudson-Odoi hasn't been incisive enough whenever he's had the opportunity to play on that side. We can talk about the fact that Chelsea lost their best player and that they didn't have an ability to sign any players in the summer because of the transfer ban, but they actually signed Pulisic and they actually signed Kovacic. The biggest issue they've had is converting chances, and until they put that right, they aren't going to make that jump from where they want to be, to where they want to be. And actually, they think they can finish third in the league this season. They probably should finish third in the league this season. If they converted their chances and taken the points that they should have won this season, the draws that should have been victories, then they would have been up there alongside Leicester City in third place, knocking on the door of second. But they're not, because they don't see matches through, and it's so frustrating. Even more frustrating that Kepa Arrizabalaga never makes a save. Never.
No.
Not once. You can shoot at him, it's going in the net. That's it. End of the story. My son could take a penalty against that guy and he'd get a hand to it, but his hand would give way at the last moment and it would just flick behind and it would just trickle into the net. How often does he get down to a ball and then he's not strong enough in the wrist to palm it round the post? It is absolutely unbelievable for a goalkeeper of that price.
I think the term is naan bread hands.
I have never seen Sam Matt's face get so red.
I know.
His face has gone redder than that velvet bag.
He's
not
happy with Chelsea.
Furious. He's absolutely right on every front. That was great.
But they win this game on the weekend for me.
Do they?
They're not a banana skin team in the FA Cup, against teams outside.
They put Willy Caballero in goal, that's why.
They got a good record They against teams outside the Premier League. They don't normally become that banana skin team. And Hull got some good players, but their home form this season has been a bit patchy, to be fair. You know, they've won as many as they've lost, to be fair. So I see Chelsea going there. Yes, Frank will make a few changes, but I can't see them losing this one. I think they'll get the job done, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, indeed. Anyway, enough of that. We were going to talk about Newcastle and Oxford United. Do you want to do that quickly? Or should we just say good luck to Steve Bruce? I hope he does well in the FA Cup. I do. I want him to do well, because I think he gets unfair.
They'll
stick.
Get out possession.
I don't hope Newcastle do well. I despise watching them. I love the club and, you know, Steve Bruce, great personality and all that sort of stuff. But you watch them play football. I've never hated a side more than this side, I would say. They're right up there with Huddersfield for me in the most anti-football, negative, awful to watch sides in the league. They'll stay up and good luck to them. I don't feel anything particular about Newcastle, but I've had to sit through their games. And the fact they managed to get 4 points out of Chelsea at home and Everton away playing disgusting anti-football annoys me. You know, I want this league to be good, and they're the example to everyone right now that you can be utter trash and still stay up in this league. And I hope Oxford do them 5-0.
They're not the only example. They're really not the only example.
They're the worst. They're the worst. Manchester United fifth. They're the worst team to watch, though, of all of them.
Oxford will out-possession them. I guarantee they will have more possession. They play decent soccer. But Newcastle, I agree a little bit. I think Steve Bruce had an opportunity coming in there. Money spent on St. Maximin, Joe Ellington, 40-odd million. Do something different. Mm. He's just kept it.
Well, he can't. He can't.
Joe Ellington's not a £40 million player.
No.
Yeah, because
I reckon the Chelsea scouting department are doing Newcastle scouting as well.
They're about to sign Zappa Costa for £80 million.
If you're Joe Ellington, the way that Newcastle play, it's the same with Almiron. He's a good player. And he's okay, he scored a couple of goals recently. So people are saying, oh yeah, now he's up and running or whatever. But you're an attacking player in that team. You're not going to perform to your highest levels. You're not. And maybe he's not a £40 million player, but I feel sorry for him at times because the service that he's getting, you know, he's isolated, players are not up and around him. It's difficult because they're so negative. They've got no interest.
I don't blame them.
And the players are better than what they're letting on. Everybody's like, oh, we can't play football. We can't do this. Look at Sheffield United.
Yeah.
I'm not having it. I'm not having that.
Okay, I do agree with that. I would say the Newcastle squad's at least on par. And they've got David McGoldrick up front.
That is a real problem for every single manager in the Premier League, isn't it? Because whatever happens, if you start playing anti-football or you start scrapping results out. And look, I want Steve Bruce to succeed because nobody wanted him to be the Newcastle manager, but he's a Newcastle fan. And, you know, ultimately, I just think he's not a bad bloke. He's doing his best. He might not be perfect, but ultimately, you know, he's got them into mid-table and hopefully it goes on there to play better football. But if you are a manager who plays anti-football, the only three words you need are, look at Sheffield United. That's four words.
That's four words. Try it again.
At Sheffield United, because they've got a team made up of League One and League Two players.
They have
ended up going on and bursting into the European places in the Premier League. I mean, it's, you know, if you get a good coach, if you've got a very good coach in Chris Wilder, then you can achieve a lot more than maybe your players' ability. Suggest you will.
So I've got seven words for you, mate. Seven words for you. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. That's freebie.
Counting was never my strong point. Shall we move on to the commentator's curse? Oh. Players or teams will put the mockers on this week by giving a statistical reason as to why they will do well in a round of matches. I'm going to start this week. The last time that Liverpool went to Shrewsbury, the whole town got into cup fever. Just like now. Shrewsbury, talk of the game, all eyes upon them, exclusive to television. Everybody wants to know whether or not Liverpool can tame the Shrews. The game was originally scheduled for the 27th of January 1996. However, it was called off and rearranged three times because of dreadful snow. When it did eventually take place, Liverpool started with Fowler, Collymore, John Barnes and McManaman, all in the same team. 11 internationals in that team, and the tie was over in 9 minutes. Collymore scored. That was it. They went on to win 4-0. So this week, I am going to suggest that Shrewsbury will stay in the game longer than 9 minutes. That's my challenge to you, Sam Ricketts. Keep a clean sheet for longer than 9 minutes, and I think they'll do it. You're not convinced, are you, Danny?
Not really, no.
I was just impressed how well thought out that commentator's curse was. That is a lot more research than I've done for mine.
They've only lost one in their last 17 games. At home, Shrewsbury, in the cup.
Well, there you go.
They only scored 24 goals over the course of the entire season. So, yeah. I mean, ultimately, like they've been a bit lucky in the cups. Right, what you got for me, Danny?
Make it long, massive. You've got to have a full story about it. In 1973, there was a game between Man City and Fulham.
Anyway, I'm going to go with Gabriel Martinelli. Arsenal obviously taking on Bournemouth this weekend. My original thought, I was going to go with Aguero.
You're not using that now?
No.
That was a good one, that.
Yeah, well, it was okay, yeah. Well, my original thought was Aguero because, obviously, in red hot form in the minute, I think he's got 19 goals in the FA Cup. If he scores this weekend, then he becomes the fourth all-time top goal scorer in the competition. Thought about that one.
Are you doing two here?
No. I'll get on tomorrow. I'm just trying to drag it out as long as your one. Right. Yeah. Jay Rodriguez was another one. 9 goals in his last kind of 13 FA Cup games as well.
You can't take all the options.
Surprised me. Well, you're not doing this one.
It's not multiple choice. Commentator's curse is.
On to Martinelli. I just love this guy. Double figures already this season. He's only started 11 games. I think the last Arsenal teenager to do that, get into double figures, was Nicolas Anelka. But Bournemouth have no interest in the FA Cup today. Eddie Howe doesn't care.
No, he'll make 11 changes, won't he?
So Martinelli gets a hat-trick guaranteed.
I hope Bournemouth concede a goal for every player they change. So if they make 11, I hope they lose 11-0.
Well, I'm looking forward to that game because that's live on game day on Monday night. I'm really looking forward to going to do the Bournemouth reserves against Arsenal's kids. What have you got for us, Tom?
I have got just one. because that's the brief, on one of my favourite players in the Premier League right now. One of my former favourite players was Mark Albrighton.
Really?
I always liked him for his work ethic, fantastic crosses. Yeah. I think he didn't play for England because his head was too square. Right, and people looked at him and thought, that's not the face and head of an athlete.
Or he wasn't good enough.
And I think he was good enough during that title-winning season to play for England. The reason I am picking this guy is because he's the modern-day Mark Albrighton. He's replaced him in the Leicester side, and I think he's going to go on to be a star, but he is equally as flat-topped. The same haircut as the ghost in Ghostbusters that confronts them.
I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going?
Yeah.
There is no Dana Onizuel. I'm talking, of course, about Harvey Barnes. He's got two goals in Leicester's last two games, also scored in their FA Cup third-round win over Wigan. I think he's going to go on to be an international regular. I think he's a fantastic player. Oh, and I fancy him this weekend to find the back of the net in Leicester's game.
Wow, that is the longest winded commentator's curse section I think we've ever done.
He's written that off the back of his performance against West Ham, though. So
I wrote that through gritted teeth on what was it, Wednesday night, in pure rage.
Sam could play against West Ham in a minute. And could be on fire. So I'm not so sure about future England international. Well,
Kepa Arrizabalaga could keep goal against West Ham United and they'd probably still be all right. Game day is back this weekend, 12:45. It's Brentford against Leicester. Then we've got Southampton against Tottenham with Alex Crook at 3 o'clock. And then 5:30, it's Hull against Chelsea. More games on Sunday, including exclusive commentary of the game between Shrewsbury and Liverpool. And on Monday night, I'll be down on the South Coast. Very excited to watch Bournemouth reserves against Arsenal's kids. Thank you very much for getting involved today. We appreciate it. You can download and subscribe and rate and review via Acast, Spotify, Google Play and Apple as well. We'll be back next week with another preview of the hot Premier League action.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.